Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Lynn Keys, Real Talk. We back with another episode. I don't know if that just went through for the first couple seconds right there. I was saying, what's up, everybody? It's Lynn Keys, Real Talk, back with another episode. I think they might have pushed back a couple seconds. I'm not really sure what happened, but anyways, I mean, y'all probably know what I was going to say anyways. If you listen to the show a couple of times, it's not that important. But anyways, yeah, I got my boy Lee here. Lee got his boy Keys here. So we're both here, and that's pretty good. So we're going to just break down some stuff. You know, we've been doing this show for about a good 6 months now anyways. We've been trying to, you know, get on, you know, around once a week. That's usually what we were going for. I think there might have been a few weeks in there where we might not have got on, but, you know, if you break it down 6 months, this is episode number 26, so I think we actually got, you know, 4 weeks in a month, once a week, 6 months. I mean, I think somehow it worked out, but maybe we did like two shows. I think it was a couple weeks. We might have did two shows a week, so anyways, we've just been trying to, you know, see what structure is the best, because a lot of those shows, we try to do like an agenda, and some shows that have the agenda ready for y'all, whoever, you know, the listeners, to see what we'd be talking about. So before you call in, you could see if you're interested in it, rather than calling in and then not really having, you know, something to say or being interested in the topic. But you know, we've been just trying to change the structure and just see what works. And I mean, we were saying last time, the most natural thing is, way we would just talk about whatever it was when we first started talking about, you know, a lot of different topics on Twitter. That's how that was. It was kind of just random, you know, whatever happened to be the topic of the day. So we kind of just going back to doing that, and that feels most natural. It works. So it's enjoyable for us. So I mean, we'll see that we're going to do that, you know, tonight's show too. We'll rock out with that structure. So no, I hope the listeners enjoy it too, and maybe that makes for a better show. Anyways, so I got my boy Lee here. We're gonna see what's on his mind tonight. Lee, what's going on, bro?
Oh man, nothing, man. What's going on, man? Another day, you know. Ready to see what we're gonna talk about tonight. Let people in, you know, what's on our mind. You know, talk about a couple things. Just for those that don't know, I don't know what Keys want to talk about. He don't know what I want to talk about. So it's going to be fun, like we did last time. We're going to have a whole lot of fun with it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I thought it went good, because last time we had no idea, and I feel like that makes for, you know, regular conversation. It's like, you talk to somebody in the middle of the day, I mean, they have no idea if you're going to call their phone or what you're going to bring up, but those are some of the best conversations. You don't always have to be prepared. It's not as if you're prepared, you over-prepare, and then it sounds forced. So we don't want to do that either. And, you know, him and I, it's pretty easy for us to talk. You know, we're brothers, so we know each other. It's easy for us. We can talk about anything off top, so it really, we don't need to have a setup, you know, to go in on something. And you know, the first thing that's on my mind is, and honestly, this is probably gonna be on my mind every day until this thing goes down. And I've been talking about this, you know, in and out for a lot of shows. I mean, at least I feel like I did. Maybe I held back on bringing it up, but I've at least been hyped. I've been hyped for it on through all the shows. You know, it's 10 days away. You know, the 3 days will be Saturday, March 31st. Next Saturday is Saturday, April 7th. And this is going down that night, and I'm just stoked. You know, I am more excited for this fight than I was for Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor's fight. And I was pretty hyped for that fight. I was pretty fucking hyped for that fight. I was – the way – like, when you talk about, like, some people selling a fight, I was so sold on the Mayweather McGregor fight. The amount of build up, the amount of content that I watched, like relating to that fight, building up to it, was crazy. And I think this fight, I've been even more consistent watching more content, trying to, because I'm just that excited. You got to give me something. So I've been just dying. They did like a media call. And the audio like came out today. You know, they had Lee's boy Khabib was on there. You know, and the champ Tony Ferguson was on there, and they had Khabib on first, I think. And he was just starting to break down the fight, kind of like the way we sound when we start up our show. He was just on there by himself, I think. And then I think they had Tony call up after. And this dude just started going in. I don't think he let up for air the entire time that he was on there. He wasn't even letting this man talk. And I love that. I love that shit because I mean I'm kind of a sucker for that. If you want to sell me the fight, just keep selling me the fight. I'm gonna keep purchasing. You know what I mean? I'm gonna keep buying into it. That's the kind of stuff I like. So. And Ferguson, you know, I always talk about the mental warfare. He's good at this whole thing, and I've been surprised that with how quiet he's been leading up to the fight. And my man Lee said that in one of the other episodes, I believe, when we talked about this, that it's just been surprising how Ferguson has stayed quiet for most of the time leading up. But now I think since the days are getting so close, days are flying by. The fight is next weekend. Now it's real. It's literally right around the corner. So, man, I'm mad excited. That's like some Boston slang right there. I'm mad excited.
but you know what's been cool though is that, you know, normally Ferguson, you know, he'll be out there a lot more, you know, talking trash or whatever, you know, like he always do before his fights. But I think a part of him being the champ knows that now he's not the hunter. He's the hunted. So he has to go in there with a demeanor that he has to win, you know. Not that he's going in and, you know, I just got to put on a good performance. When you're the champ, you got to go in there with an attitude of, I got to win. So I think it's showing maybe a little bit of maturity on his part, you know, being the champ. But it also might be something where he's more focused. You know, he knows that Khabib is a dangerous opponent. And, you know, Khabib is basically, like I said, I don't know whether or not Khabib is going to stand and bang with Tony, but I know he's going to try to take him down repeatedly over and over and over. So we'll see what happens. I think the closer, you know, the more media that they do leading up to the fight, I think you'll see Tony probably start unleashing what you call mental warfare through words on Khabib. So we'll see what happens, man. I mean, Khabib really never has really been a big talker leading up the fights. But, you know, plus I don't think the UFC really been promoting this fight the way they should be. You know, you don't see the commercials on, you know, on every other channel or doing most sports talk shows or nothing like that. You know, like they hype up other fights. And I know I need to look this up. But I'll look it up before our next show, before we make our predictions and stuff on next week's card. I want to see whether or not they even sold that place out yet, because I think I don't know is it doing good as far as ticket sales. So, but I think it's going to be a good fight. But everybody, please keep your fingers crossed. People got to make weight. People got to get to the fight. And y'all know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, man. You know, it's you know, I noticed they've been doing a lot of, because, you know, well, I don't know if you know, but I really watched like a lot of the build up you know, to fights that I really want to see. I watch a lot of the, you know, UFC puts out those, like a lot, there's like a lot of those like backgrounds on the fighters and stuff like that, that they do. Like they've done that for a couple of Stipe's fights. I remember they did it when Stipe was building up to the Alistair Overeem fight. They did a like a behind the like a it's like a story on each fighter kind of thing. And like usually I watch those, mm-hmm. and they have like those like extended interviews, and then they have like it just overall it's, they've been doing a lot of that for Rose. You know, Rose they've been doing a lot of. They've been pushing Rose leading up to this rematch with Joanna. Joanna hasn't I mean they've done a little bit for Joanna too, but I think this is a case where Joanna is not really trying to be talking leading up to this fight, because the last time she ran her mouth, she got knocked out in the first round. So I think she just wants to take that quiet approach and just try to let the fight speak for her in this time. I mean, one of the things that she was saying, it sound the way she's been talking, it sounded like this fight she's going to try and make Rose go the distance. That's what it sounds like by what she's saying. You really never know what a fighter is going to do until they get in there. That's what makes a lot of these fights so unpredictable, and it's hard to bet on, but it does sound like Rose is going to try and stall her out and make Rose go the distance and for Joanna to win a decision. I mean, you know that's how she's won most of her fights anyways, so that would be the route that you would expect her to go. But, man, I wish they were doing more promo for the Ferguson and Khabib, because, you know, it's annoying because, like, you know, McGregor is one of my favorite guys, but, like, it bothers me how much the UFC babies him and how, like, sensitive they are around him. I wish they would use that in their promotion instead of trying to, like, not use his name until it's, like, his time to shine. Use his name to build up other fights, because you could be using that and selling tickets just off of involving his name in the fight. So, really, I feel like the fact that they choose to baby him and to keep his name... I mean, like, the press, they'll ask questions about him at the 223 press conference. A lot of the, you know, UFC press, those reporters a lot asked about, like, always the fight for the real belt and all this. And Dana White kind of dodging the question, which is okay. I know Ariel Helwani asked, you know, and he was kind of, like, really offensive about it. And he was like, Dana, why are you not, like, you said this fight was for the real belt, but then when we ask you... You said that Conor hasn't been stripped, so how is it for the real belt? That doesn't make any sense. And then Dana responded, and he said, "Did I say that Conor was stripped?" And then he said, "No." So he goes, "Okay, next question." So I mean, I feel like there's two big reasons why that he's not saying that McGregor been stripped was A, because he loves having his biggest star hold one of the belts, because it's just good for business. So that's one reason. So people don't even want to hear that Conor's been stripped, because they like him in the championship spotlight. Yeah. And a lot of people want to see him defend a belt. So if that were to happen, you know, that's big for the UFC to say, oh, McGregor is defending against, like, top contenders, so-and-so. But Dana knows that would be a big fight. So I think a lot of him is holding on to that possibility. And that's even a possibility for 223, because McGregor been posted a picture with like his belt, and it just says stay ready, and a lot of people have speculated that McGregor is gonna try and, or he actually is behind the scenes keeping that he's working out and keeping that basically that he's ready to that he's expecting one of these guys to pull out last second, and that McGregor might step into the fight and it become an actual fight. Well, Dana's saying that it's for the real belt once the fight starts, though. So I think a lot of that speculation, I forget what my two reasons were, but they kind of interlock, is that you don't want to strip him because people like him as a champion, but also because he's not sure that this fight's actually going to happen. So I think that might even be the bigger reason, because since the fans have been let down, you know, two or three times by, you know, in the past with this fight trying to happen, then it doesn't happen. Dana doesn't want to say that it's the real title fight and then say one of the guys drops out, you know, it automatically loses credibility to the real belt because you don't have the real contenders in there. So if it would have had to be like a replacement, it loses shock value of the fight. But McGregor might step in.
But let's be real. What has an interim champ ever defended the interim belt? This got to be a first. Tony Ferguson is recognized as the interim champ, but he's defending the interim belt against Khabib. Man, come on, Dana. Dana should have been, before he even signed his fight with Khabib and Tony, he should have stripped Conor of the belt. I don't care if he feels that the fight isn't going to happen. You still should strip him of the belt because basically you having two guys fight for a fake championship. Basically, that's what's happening. Just like we talked about last week with this RDA versus Colby Covington fight that's supposed to be for an interim, middleweight belt or welterweight belt, the one that everybody recognizes Tyron Woodley as the undisputed champ. So, come man, I told you, man, this interim belt thing has become a thing of its own. And I understand the Conor McGregor thing. I understand it. He's one of the biggest stars in MMA, if not the biggest star in MMA, and it makes for good optics for him to have a belt. But real fans of MMA know that he's had numerous times since that Floyd Mayweather fight to defend the championship. So, I'm not buying the fact that he's behind the scenes waiting just in case somebody don't make weight. If that's the case, he could have just fought Tony Ferguson from the get go. Why settle for being a late minute replacement? That makes no sense to me. And just to have Tony defend his interim belt is even more asinine just thinking about it. So I'm hoping both Khabib and Ferguson get to the fight and that we finally get this fight. Three times the charm, hopefully. And if Dana White needs, I know he said this, that the fight would be for the real belt. He did say that. So I just don't understand why he's backtracking.
You know, I think he just doesn't. I mean, there's got to be some reason why he doesn't officially say that it's for the belt. Because I know there was some reports that said that the fight is for the real belt once the fight starts. So it's an interim title fight until the bell rings and both of them get in there. So I don't think that I think Dana wants these two guys to fight for the real belt, but he doesn't want one of them to pull out and then have to have a replacement come in to fight for the real belt because that's not as big of a fight. And they've been promoting this fight. So even though they haven't promoted it as much as they really should, because this fight is the biggest fight. This is debatably the biggest fight in the UFC this year. I mean, I mean DC and Stipe is a big fight too, but I think this fight might be bigger. Like this is because this fight has been in the making since 3 years ago. They tried to do it in 2015, yep. 2016, and 2017, and now it's finally happened. And the fourth year in a row they tried to book it, and now it's the closest it's ever been to actually happening since 2009 last year when Khabib pulled out like the day before the fight or like the day of the fight. I know it was like very close to the fight. So I think that's the reason why – I think because of Khabib is the main reason why Dana doesn't want to say it's for the real bout because of such the short notice that Khabib pulled out the last time. And that's why he's saying it's not a real title fight until the bell rings and both of the guys are in there and they both made weight and everything else because and then in that neither of them get hospitalized because Khabib, you know, we found out he was hospitalized like I thought it was like the day before the fight or the day of the fight that we found out
it was
the
day before it was the day of the weigh-ins because they said he couldn't he tried to weigh in, but he couldn't weigh in. And no, he did weigh in, and then he ended up going to the hospital after he weighed in, and they said he wasn't right or whatever. But just to look at what you said from another angle, why wouldn't you use that as motivation if you Dana White? Why wouldn't you use them fighting for the rear belt as motivation instead of saying, once the bell ring is for the rear belt? If I know I'm fighting for the rear belt, don't you think I'm going to be more motivated to train harder, you know, to make sure I get to the fight, you know, stuff like that, instead of, you know, well, let's just keep it under wraps until the cage closes and both of them make it. You know, to me, that don't make no that don't even make any sense, man. That doesn't even really make any sense, Doc.
I like the word choice. Everybody out there, I just want to point out. So if you were just listening right there, the word choice that was just used before, this man said asinine. That's
asinine.
And that's really fitting in this scenario, because it does sound really stupid. And man, what you know, that's kind of like, to follow up with that, is that's kind of what I was leading up to saying this before, but I didn't actually get to it because I got sidetracked. You know, I would get sidetracked. But is that, you know, I was telling, like, when someone tells you about a fight, they're selling you the fight. When I go and tell my friends who don't watch MMA as much, they don't even watch really UFC fights unless I put them on and say, yo, this is a good fight to watch. So I went out to eat one of my friends the other day. We went to Hooters. I don't know if y'all got Hooters out. I'm sure you got Hooters out there somewhere. It's kind of a big chain, right? So we went to Hooters.
Yeah, we got Hooters.
So I was at Hooters the other day, one of my friends. And, you know, I don't really drink much, but, like, you know, I had a couple beers with him because he's the only certain friends I really go have a drink. It's a rare occasion. But anyways, I was feeling myself. So I started selling him this Tony and Khabib. I started selling him the fight, bro. And he don't even really he likes the UFC, but like I said, I kind of have to sell him a fight for him to be enticed to watch it. If I don't tell him, like, oh, this is a big card, let's watch it, you know, that night, then he won't even probably know about it. But so I started telling him the fight, and I'm telling him about it. And the way that I sold it was, I was like, man, look, these two guys, they're fighting for McGregor's belt. That's what I told him. And that's the truth. That's like 90% the truth. It probably will come to fruition, because I do believe they'll both make weight and they'll both get in there. The only thing that scares me about it not happening is if Khabib misses like half a pound and then they don't let him fight. Because he did miss like half a pound, I think, for his last fight. But you know what? Like, they should be using this in the promotion, because if they were building up the promotion for this fight, advertise it as they're fighting for McGregor's belt. Like I said, use his name in the promotions of the fight, because just even involving him in the build-up, you know, that will sell tickets right there. So they could have already sold out the event just by even promoting it as a real title fight and use McGregor in the build-up. I'm sure McGregor wouldn't mind about that either. You know, he loves his name being out there. No, he wants to be. That's why, you know, you see him coming out saying about, like, wanting to step in to fight Frankie at 165, because he probably knew that was unrealistic, but he just wants his name to be in the headlines. So he knew it was a possibility. It didn't happen. He would have been willing if they would have bite, but they didn't. But he still got his name in the headlines. He loves that, you know, that hype, because he knows that people would get behind it. So just putting his name in the build-up and saying they're fighting for McGregor's belt, you could have did a whole fucking trailer or something. You could have had him in the trailer or just had like a flashback or something crazy. I'm just saying, they could have did some crazy promotion and said they fight for McGregor's belt, and everyone would have been locked in on this fight just for that fact. But just because you're saying it's the interim belt, there's that much less anticipation and that much less interest in it. Because people don't care about the interim belt.
How about this?
How do you defend,
you know,
the interim belt? That sounds ridiculous.
Exactly. So all they had to do was Dana White, and this is how you start the UFC countdown show. Conor McGregor stripped of title. Khabib versus Ferguson at UFC 223 for the undisputed belt. Bingo, end of story, and there you go. That was your fight. That's it. That's all they had to do, man. I understand it. I get Conor props for going to box. I get it. I understand that the UFC feel like they owe a debt of gratitude to him and all this and all that. Y'all got him the biggest payday of his life. In a way, he owed you guys a bit of gratitude because Dana White didn't have to let him go box. So, I mean, I get that. I get what you're saying. They could throw his name around to help sell the fight. But I think if they would just came out and, you know, just say that that's for the straight-up belt and Conor been stripped, I think the fans would have jumped behind this fight more than they are because just like me and you sitting up here discussing, when the hell has an interim champion had to defend an interim belt? That just sounds so ridiculous, man. Just the thought of it sounds ridiculous. But you know what? I'm going to move on, man, because you in Boston. And somebody posed this question to me today, and just to our audience, me and Keys have not talked about what we're going to talk about on the show tonight. So this is totally off the hip. He don't know what I'm about to ask him, but we're gonna switch gears a little bit. Somebody asked me today. They said, "Who got the better of the Isaiah Thomas, Kyrie Irving trade?" Because both of them are hurt right now. Both of them had surgery. And I know what my answer was, but I want to hear what my man Key's answer is, since he's in Boston. Who got the better of the Isaiah Thomas, Kyrie Irving trade?
Oh, you're talking about like the Lakers or Celtics?
No, yeah, either or. The Lakers or the Celtics.
Or Cleveland.
The Lakers or the Cavaliers. Yeah.
Well, I do know this, that, I mean, maybe this would have happened regardless, but I was out at a bar the other night. I just caught, you know, I caught some of the Cavs playing in Miami, and Miami beat, you know, Miami got them out of there, bro. Like, Miami was dominating.
Oh, yeah, they blew them out last night.
Entire game.
Oh, yeah, they blew them out.
And, yeah, that was like, I think it was like a 20-point win by the time it was in wraps. But they had them beat from the start of the game because, anyways, you know, I think Dwayne Wade's playing better because he's back in Miami. I think he feels good. You know, he feels back at home. So, and he was stuffing, he stuffed LeBron a couple times during the game, you know. Dwayne Wade was on his shit. Like, that man was really playing. So it was good to see that, but. Anyways, I think maybe had they had Isaiah, you know, a healthy Isaiah Thomas, you know, maybe they wouldn't be taking L's like that. But who knows? That's just all speculation. Also, he'd have to be, you know, performing like he was when he was in Boston. Because ever since he left Boston, he's been a fraction of himself. So it's hard to say who really made out because the Cavs didn't really well. The Cavs, I feel like Cleveland really lost out, you know, overall, like in the grand scheme of everything. Because if you look at all the players that they got initially, it seemed like a lot of the big players you thought would have made a difference didn't work out, and they've either already been traded or they're there and just not making a difference. And then. So then, if you think the biggest names, like, you know, Kyrie leaves, and you know you lost like a major scorer for your team, and you know debatably the best point guard in the league, and you know he got like the best handles in the league. I mean, and he's a and debatably the best closer in the league. I mean, what guy plays better in the fourth quarter than Kyrie Irving? Like, I really don't know off the top of my head who closes a game, you know, playoffs and the final, what, anywhere better than him. I don't know. And I feel like he's been a big aid to the Celtics before, you know, before his injury. So, I mean, I think the Celtics made out better than the Cavs did at this point with that trade. You know, the Isaiah Thompson, I think the Celtics made out better. I might just say that because I'm from Boston, but I mean, really looking at it is like the Cavs been losing a lot of games, bro. Like the Cavs really ain't been doing good. So that team has been struggling through this season. So I'm not like, if they were doing better than us, like I would admit it. I mean, really, the Toronto Raptors are doing better than us right now too, and I admit to that. Like, you know, the Toronto Raptors have a chance to make the finals, but you know their problem is that they only play good at home. Like, you know, they can beat anybody at their home court, but then when they go and play on the road, they always lose, especially in the playoffs. You know, they will get blown out if they go on the road in the playoffs. But then if you come to their home court, they might smoke the Warriors in their home court. So that's the problem with the Raptors. But, you know, they're number one. I don't mind admitting that. But I'm just saying, back to the thing, is like the Cavs, you know, versus the Celtics, I think the Cavs lost out. The Celtics still, you know, won big in that trade, even though he's injured now. I think we still benefited a lot more than they benefited, especially since Isaiah got traded again to the Lakers. And I don't really know what – I think – I haven't really been paying attention to what the Lakers have been doing. I don't even know if he's been playing. I don't – maybe he did. I don't even know. I haven't even been following that. So I don't know how they made out. Maybe you could tell me a bit about that, but I really don't know about the Lakers.
Well, I'm going to put it to you like this. When my friend, when he said that in our little group text, he was like, I don't know who got the best of this. I was like, of course Boston got the better of the deal because Kyrie is the better player. Kyrie is a better player than Isaiah Thomas. And I think Brad Stevens, the coach of the Celtics, put Isaiah in a position to succeed by, you know, the way his offense is ran, by having guys that could defend on the floor with him at all times, because as we all know, he can't defend. So Brad Stevens did a lot to help him along. And then when he got to Cleveland, it was like they couldn't defend. So if you can't defend, then if you ain't scoring, you're going to get blown out. And plus, I didn't think IT was healthy when he came back to Cleveland. But then when he got traded to my team, the Lakers, I was like, why would the Lakers want him? First of all, he's going to stunt the growth of Lonzo. And you know he needs the ball in his hand, and Lonzo needs the ball in his hand. But he decided to come off the bench for the Lakers. And actually, he was playing pretty well for the Lakers. But he left the team last week because evidently he re-aggravated that hip injury. And he's having surgery on his hip, I think, tomorrow. And he's going to be out, I think, for the rest of the year or whatever. So, you know, I think Boston made out in the trade. But I think Cleveland made out also with that draft pick that they got from Boston. So, as far as the players go, Kyrie is a better player than Isaiah Thomas, hands down. Kyrie can do it all. He can shoot it. He can lay it up. He can pass it. He can make free throws. He can make big time pressure shots. He's not a big assist guy, but he can pass the ball. And if you just go off of just plain old wins and losses, Kyrie Irving has definitely took Boston to another level as far as wins and losses. I mean, even though they were the number one seed last year and they had Isaiah Thomas, I think it was more of Cleveland saying we don't need the number one seed to get to the finals. So I really don't care about last year. But Boston definitely made out in this deal because they got the better player. And that's the bottom line to it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. You know, Kyrie, I think it's worth a lot more than people give it credit for when you can play under the pressure that, you know, he does well under, and where Isaiah Thomas can handle it. But, you know, as we saw in the Celtics playoff run, I think it was last year, for some reason my memory is lost. And, well, you know, the year we went to the Cavs, you know, the title, the division title game or whatever, you know, the East Finals, we went, that whatever year that was, as you can see, as the stage got bigger, you know, he started to look different. So I could just imagine how Isaiah might have looked, you know, on a bigger stage, you know, playing on the road against the Warriors, you know, how he would have looked at Oracle. And that's kind of a nervous thing for me. So, I'd have faith for Kyrie to go over there and be fine, or, like, play just about anywhere and be fine. And he might even have a slow game, but rest assured, he finishes the game strong. That's the kind of players you need around.
Yeah, I think on last year, and then the bad part was the indictment against IT was, is once he got hurt, the Celtics actually played better. Because I think the first two games that he played, they ended up losing by like 30 points in one game, then 20-plus in the next game, and then they came back in game three, and they played really well against Cleveland, and then they played really, really well in game four. I think I know they end up winning the game, so I think they made it back to Boston, and then Cleveland closed them out 4-1. But the thing was, the Celtics played so much better when he wasn't on the court. So, and plus, I think Cleveland, what they did was they was like, well, on the pick and roll, we're going to trap him every time. And him being so short, he really couldn't see over the double team, so he was turning the ball over. So your best player can't be one of the shortest players either. So, but I like Kyrie's game. I like Kyrie's mentality. I like his skill set. And I think there is no moment too big for him. And I think the closer the game gets, the better he plays.
So,
yeah, man. I like Kyrie. I'm a Kyrie fan.
Yeah, he's I think a lot of people out here are still in shock every time he gets back on the court wearing that green. It's so crazy. I mean, I think I've only been to actually. Wait a second. If this is his first season with the Celtics, that would mean that I haven't even been to a game since he's been a Celtic. Because I haven't been to a Celtics game yet this season. So, yeah, then I haven't even seen him live. I haven't seen him play as a Celtic, only on TV. But even then, I think a lot of people out here are still in shock to see him wearing that green when he gets out there. I mean, I know I definitely was, you know, when they first come out with the rumors of the trade. I was out to eat with a friend, and he was kind of like, you know, he might have been on his phone, or he was like, you know, he was distracted by something else. Oh, no, yeah, I think he was on the phone, and so he was kind of locked in, distracted, and I was like, bro, like, yo, you got to see this. This is crazy, and I was like, and then he's like, you know, something was important. He's like, yo, you got to get off the phone, bro. You got to see this right now. I was like, Kyrie's a Celtic, bro. He's like, no fucking way. I turn the phone, and I'm like, look at this report. Yo, this dude went nuts. Like, we just went crazy right there. We were like, damn. Like, that's like the most, like, unfathomable trade, like, that I could have imagined, you know, in all of last year. Like, I can't even – I mean, there's been some big trades, but that one really blew us away. We couldn't even believe it. So I think it feels like it's still fresh to me, whether he's out there or not. Just the fact, this is just mind blowing to me.
Yeah, man. I mean, I didn't think Cleveland would trade him to an Eastern Conference team. I thought they would probably trade him probably to, like, Phoenix or, you know, somebody in the West. But they said that was the best deal they could get, you know, Isaiah Thomas or the Nets draft pick. And what's my man named? Jay Crowder. So, you know. The better player was Kyrie, and I think Boston made it all because they got the better player. So, you know, it is what it is. And next year, Boston going to be even better when Gordon Hayward come back. So, Boston going to be a problem next year.
Yeah, that'll be something. You know, I saw that, you know, I had two topics. I had two things I wanted to bring up, but I don't know if I'll be able to get to both of them. I think both of these will probably get us going. But, you know, one that I saw earlier that I was like, man, I'm going to have to pitch this to Lee real quick, see what he says about it, is you know, I'm not on the, you know, I don't really do this. I don't do the social media thing no more. But so I'm not on Twitter to see a lot of these updates. But my phone sent me a push notification of a tweet, because I think before I had stopped using Twitter, I had followed Stipe's account, so it could do push notifications of his tweets, because he's one of my favorite fighters.
Uh-huh.
And so it sent me a push notification of one of his tweets to my phone, and it had a quote, and it was something he wrote this tweet, and it said, I guess he like quoted something that one of his fans said, and in quotes it said, it was in all caps, and it said, Lesnar fears Stipe. And then underneath that, he said, I love my fans, with, like, a bunch of exclamations. How you feel about that, bro?
It sounds
like people,
here we go again.
It sounds like people are trying to, I mean, they really want to see Brock Lesnar get back in the octagon. They've been really talking about that lately. And then now they... Now they imagine his fight with Stipe. I mean, because Brock has the wrestling. I mean, he kind of has the striking, but Stipe would kill him, bro. That's just what it comes down to. How you feel about it?
Man, I'm so tired of hearing about this Brock Lesnar return to MMA. First of all, Brock Lesnar has done nothing to deserve a world title shot against Stipe. So if the UFC was to do that, I think they would lose all credibility. Because the last time we seen Brock Lesnar fight for the belt, he was getting destroyed by, oh, man, was it Cain Velasquez? I think it was Cain that beat him. And then I know Overeem came in there and beat him. So, man, Brock Lesnar, man. I mean, he's just a name. He's just a name. And, oh, man, I just can't believe we're talking about this. And I think he just re-upped with WWE, so I don't know whether or not they'll let him – well, they did let him come out and fight Mark Hunt, so maybe WWE will let him come out and fight, but I don't think he should fight for the belt. I think Stipe is too skilled for him, and – Brock is a big boy, so Stipe might have problems taking him down, but I think Stipe could, you know, jab and move, you know, strike with him, you know, because I don't think Brock got one of his best chins in the game. And I just don't think that Brock is going to win. I think he still has his case with USADA, man, so I'm not buying this Brock Lesnar versus Stipe. And if Dana White does that, man, the UFC loses all credibility, in my opinion. You can't have a guy come from WWE who basically has lost, I think, two of his last three fights and have him come in and fight for the belt. I just can't buy that as a fan.
Yeah,
I just can't buy it.
Hey, that. No, I agree with that. That's understandable. I think a lot of it is just fans trying to, you know, put out fights that would just interest them. I mean, it might be like a, you know, when I was at the UFC event in Boston in January, there was a, like, you know, you probably call this guy like a hardcore. I mean, like, I feel we're pretty big into it, but like this dude was like, he was like a hardcore like MMA guy that was behind us. He was like, this dude was standing up the entire time. Like, he was like breaking down the fights. Like, this dude. But then after, he kind of got me. He kind of had everybody I was with. We were a little annoyed with him because he kept on saying casuals. He kept calling people casuals, like, because they wouldn't, like, if people wouldn't react like to certain shit or like, I don't know. This dude was just like judging everybody, and it was just like he kind of got lame. Like, after a while, you just kind of got sick of hearing him. But I think, you know, because my man Tony Ferguson, he uses that word casuals, you know, a bit too. And they asked him what he meant by that when he said it. And what he said was that, you know, he calls people that don't really know shit about MMA, and they just kind of come out and, you know, they always ask for super fights and stuff like that, and they don't really care about, you know, the originality of the sport and like the basics of like what it is and what it's supposed to be. They just want to see all the flashy stuff. And I think that might be where it might be that kind of audience that, you know, asks for a Stipe and Brock Lesnar fight, you know, just because of the star power of Brock Lesnar. They'd want to see him come back and fight for a belt, even though he, you know, is the least deserving guy at heavyweight right now. I mean, he hasn't fought. He's a WWE champion. Like, and that even gets me annoyed too, because just saying that somebody's a WWE champion doesn't even hold any weight. Those are fake fights.
No.
You're not even a real champ. Like, it's entertainment sports. Like, it's not combat sports. You're not a real champion. You didn't win anything. You were set up to win the fight. The reason why that Brock Lesnar is a WWE champion and he's been a champion for like a year now is because he's a big star, and he's probably one of their biggest stars. So him holding the belt, this is like the same exact concept as Dana White not want to say that McGregor stripped of the belt. That'd be like if Brock Lesnar got popped for steroids, and then the WWE had to strip him of the belt, you know, for some reason. Like, say, like, it got out in the public, or say he had, like, you know, he was physically abusing his wife or something, and then that got out to the public, and then they had to, you know, do something. Like, they would try to hide it because of the star power of Brock, you know, Brock Lesnar and, you know, McGregor. It's kind of a similar thing. And that's the reason why he has the belt, is because, you know, the fans like to see the belt on people who they're already big fans of. So him being a champion holds no weight. The same as CM Punk was a champion and came to the UFC, held no weight, because that doesn't mean that he didn't.
He got smashed.
He did fake moves, you know, on guys who done fake moves. And, you know, you're no real champion. You were staged champion. You did not fight to win that. So he's the least deserving guy to even have a title fight. I think that's just those ooh-ah fans who want to, like, you know, look at a fight like it's fireworks. Those kind of fans who want to just, you know, see certain guys in there, and they don't really care about the sport that call for those kind of fights. So if we're ever going to say casual, that might be the time.
But you know what's funny about the word casual, though, is normally most people that start out watching something new or something they're not accustomed to watching, they do start off as casual fans, and then as it piques their interest, they become, you know, more of a fan, you know, a bigger fan of it. And then, you know, the more that they like it, they become a hardcore fan, because I started off as a casual fan of UFC. You know, I was in Turkey, and, you know, the pay-per-views came on for free. And, you know, a lot of people, I heard a lot of guys say, you know, hey, man, hey, we're getting together, we're watching the UFC fight, you know, whatever, whatever. So, you know, I decided to go hang out with her one night. So we was watching. I'm like, all right, you know, it had changed since I was turned off from it, because when I had first heard about UFC, it was when you would have a 300-pound guy fighting a 150-pound guy. You know, they didn't have weight divisions or none of that. Everything goes. So it was kind of barbaric, and I wasn't into that. So when I started when I became a casual fan, I was like, all right, you know, it ain't bad. You know, the fights are good. So then, you know, I would start watching more, and then I became a hardcore fan. So for some people, they can start off as casual fans, and then, you know, depending on the level of excitement of the fights they watch, they go from casual to into it to hardcore fans. So you got to get a casual fan, they do. At least they putting eyes on the sport, giving it a chance. But this Brock Lesnar thing, man, I don't want to hear about that. Get out of here with that. Next.
So I said this on the last show. I want to put this out there again, because the other day I was thinking about saying this on this show, and I was like, man, I'm going to have to do a whole show about how Stipe is the most dominant champion. But then I thought about it, and I was like, if I said that, then I'm going to have to debate it, because Demetrius Johnson, the most dominant champion. So then I thought about it, and I was like, wait, he surpassed my boy T-Wood as the most dominant champion. So then I thought about it, and I was like, damn. If you think about it, none of the champions have fought as many times as either one of them guys in the time frame that they have defended their belt. Off the top of my head, Stipe fought. He's fought in four fights since the Verdum fight, which I think was in 2016, or maybe early 2017. And then Woodley fought for four title fights since when he fought Robbie Lawler, which I forget when that was. I don't even remember that at all. But it wasn't in that long of a time. What I'm just saying is they fought the most. So I just think of them guys. If you compare it, Stipe has, out of those, he had three finishes and one unanimous decision, which was also a dominant win. And it wasn't action-packed, but I wouldn't say it was boring. I mean, being able to control a guy like Ngannou, you know, as big as he is. And then there was also a mix of striking in there. There was some moments when Stipe, he had to run a little bit and, you know, dodge some fucking, you know, blows, because if not, you're just going to get fucking caked. You know, who's going to stand there and just be a punching bag for Ngannou? Like, why would you do that? So, like, there was some moments that were necessary, but I mean, there was some moments he had a bob, you know, he had a dodge, bob and weave, and then he would exchange shots, and then he would counterpunch, and then Ngannou took some of Stipe's shots, you know, but then Ngannou landed a couple good shots. You know, there was even a moment he was rocked, but my point is, what I'm saying is that the fashion that Stipe been winning is a lot more exciting. He's been putting in a lot more work than T-Wood been putting in his wins. But at the end of the day, they both still, as champions, have brought credibility to being a champion, because they've fought whoever they needed to fight. And I still think
This is what you do to anger me. See, this is what you do to anger me, Keys. You know Demetrius Johnson is the most dominant champion in the UFC, but you don't want to give him his due, because it's your boy T-Wood and your boy Stipe. Everybody knows Demetrius Johnson is the most dominant champion in the UFC. There is not a fighter in his division that can claim that they even had a close fight against him. A close fight. Nobody in his division can say they had a close fight against him. Nobody. John Dawson mopped the floor with him twice. Benavidez mopped the floor with him twice. Benavidez got mopped up twice. He even thought about going up to 135. Harris Cejudo finished. Done. Who was the other kid they just had? The Weiss guy got finished. Man, no. I know he's a little guy. I mean, I get it. The little guy's not supposed to be dominant in a sport like the UFC. But Demetrius Johnson is the most dominant champion in the UFC. And I would have Stipe at number two. Much as Tyron Woodley bores the hell out of me, I'll probably have DC before Woodley. No, I know I wouldn't. I have Woodley.
How you get DC?
Yeah, I would have Woodley.
Yeah, DC lost to John Jones, and he beat Vulcan. He knew he could beat Vulcan.
Yeah, I would go with Woodley as four. I would go with Woodley
as four.
And
he's about to lose to Stipe. They got DC one above Stipe. So when he loses to Stipe, I don't want to hear nothing, and they better move him up. But I'm gonna send a. I'm gonna call the corporate office and make a complaint.
Yeah, but like, I'm going to beat Jim Johnson. Yeah, but it's like what me and you always say. If the UFC likes you, they will promote you every which way they can, and that is one of the ways they're promoting DC. By having him in the top three, what is it, pound for pound rankings?
Yeah, he's number three.
Man, yeah, man, whatever, man.
You know,
man, yeah,
as we don't really like. No, what do you say? Are you gonna
man, it's just the DC thing, man. The UFC loves him, man. They love what he brings to the company because he's the champ right now. He does TV. He can call fights, you know, as far as being a color commentator. And they like that. So that's why they'll do everything they can to prop him up. And then they do everything in their power to knock T-Wood down. I mean, I don't get it. It's just, if they like you, they like you. If they don't, they don't. That's just the way it is.
Because DC was out for a year and a half, whether he had an injury or not, and they didn't do no interim lightweight fight. But T-Wood doesn't fight for 8 months, and he has an injury. But they don't want to do. See, that's one thing. The other possibility is that maybe he's been open to taking certain fights, and he maybe behind the scenes he might have denied the, you know, one or two of those guys that are in that interim fight. So maybe that's why they're doing it, to try and motivate him to want to step up and say, "Nah, I'll fight whoever one of them." So then you don't have to do the interim fight. But it definitely comes down to that respect, though, because Dana White don't respect you. Well, we all know that.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell. I mean, I think T-Wood came out and said that he felt like the UFC was biased against, I think he used the word racist. But then he came out and recanted that or whatever. But he did say the UFC didn't respect him and that Dana White would have to publicly apologize to him for something Dana had said. I mean, you know, he was going back and forth with the UFC, and then of course, the way the UFC disrespects Demetrius Johnson is just ridiculous. But as much as people don't want to believe it, you have to believe this. If you want to succeed in a company, you have to learn to play the game by the supervisor, the CEO, whoever the big boss is, learn how to play by their rules that would get you ahead faster than you trying to be rebellious or go against the grain. I think if T-Wood and Demetrius Johnson was to play the game the way Dana White wants them to play the game, they would get bigger pushes. They'll be highlighted more. But they're not about that. They're about fighting and keeping it moving. Whereas you got DC want to do TV and color commentary and all this stuff and all that. Then you got Conor McGregor, who talks the biggest trash in the world, and most of the time he backs it up. And, you know, he's a good mouthpiece because he has big draws in the United States and overseas. And then, you know, they have Ronda Rousey, who is probably the most dominant bantamweight women's champion that we had ever seen until she got knocked out. And then you didn't hear from her. Then they go bring her back against somebody that's known to be a striker and get knocked out again. So then she's gone. And it's just the cycle that the UFC, they don't hitch their wagon to me to the right people. I think they should have hitched their wagon to Demetrius Johnson. I think they should have hitched their wagon to Holly Holm. I think they should have hitched their wagon to John Jones. And I think they should – of course they should have hitched their wagon to Conor McGregor. But why not hook your wagon up to T-Wood? He was the most active champion in the last 2.5 years. The man gets hurt, and now you want to have an interim fight because he's recovering from an injury. That's BS.
Well,
BS.
I do know this, is that if you remember pretty long time ago now, the last time Damian Maia was in a title fight, before the T-Wood fight, which was just embarrassing. Overall it was embarrassing for fans because it was a very boring fight, and there was like only like 50-something strikes thrown. And that was sad. And then there was like, all it was T-Wood stuff and takedowns. There was like really no, there was like nothing going on in the fight. Like it was just very dull. That was just embarrassing for the UFC as a whole. But like, if you remember the last time Damian Maia had gotten the title fight before that was when he fought Anderson Silva. And if you remember that fight was boring as hell too. That fight might have even been worse. You know, I think, you know, knowing they probably threw more strikes, so maybe that kind of lightened things up a bit. But that fight was terrible. Like, I was watching the interview, Dana White, you know, of him after that fight, and he was like, man, like, I just want to walk out of the, like, I'm just going to walk out of the arena right now. Like, I feel sorry for the fans. Like, that was seriously embarrassing, and I can't even believe, like, how bad that fight was. And, man, I think, you know, the UFC does the wrong thing, and I hate to say it, by putting Damian Maia in title fights, because if you have one of the most boring title fights ever versus Anderson Silva, why would you rebook him for a title fight with T-Wood, who just had two other, you know, dull fights against Wonder Boy leading up to it? Why would you put him against this guy? Like, you set him up to have another boring fight. Like, if T-Wood had stopped Wonder Boy at least one of those fights, you would have had enough faith to say, okay, I can book him versus Damian Maia. This might be okay. But neither fight did he stop him. I think he might have knocked him down a couple of times, but he never stopped him. So those fights were kind of dull. And then you let him up to fight the boring king, Damian Maia. It's the most boring style in MMA, period. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is exhaustingly boring. Like, there's literally nothing interesting about watching what he does. Maybe I'm a casual for saying that Damian Maia's style is boring, but that thing is just, I don't know what is a grab about watching that. Like, the dude locks on like a spider, and he just holds you there. Like, imagine watching Damian Maia fight Khabib. Can you imagine like what that would be like? Like, Khabib would be like trying to take him down. Damian Maia would try and get his back, and then he'd be like holding Khabib on the other side. Khabib would try and get out of the, you know, he tried to flip it over and then take him down. I think Khabib would be on top. Then Damian Maia would try and flip it, get his back. I don't even want to think about that.
Yeah, man. But the thing is what Damian Maia did is what Wonderboy needs to be doing. After Damian Maia lost to Anderson Silva, you know, he just kept fighting. He just kept fighting, and he put himself back in title contention. Wonderboy needs to realize that as long as T-Wood is a champ, he will never, ever get another title shot because of those two boring fights. Only way he'll get another championship fight is he will have to clean up every guy in the top 10. He will have to beat every guy in the top 10 and make it so it's a no-brainer that Dana has to get him another title shot. And do I see that happening? No. And I don't see that happening. So it's just crazy. And Damian Maia, man, every time he's in a title fight, it's like it's such a snoozer that the fans just get totally turned off. Man, the fans get turned off, man. That T-Wood fight was so bad. It was so bad. And it went 5 rounds. It was terrible.
You know what's terrible? You know what's crazy about it is that Cyborg fought on that card, too. Like, that 214 was so boring overall. I can't even believe how of a letdown that card was. Really think about it. The Robbie Lawler and Cerrone fight, to me, was also boring. That was a boring 3-round fight. And I actually, you know, I remember saying, like, damn, they should have just saved that for, like, a fight night and did it a main event so they could have did 5 rounds. I think I also said that because I was sad that I had to watch that. That 3-round was so boring. And then the Cyborg thing was boring. She fought some random girl, like always. We don't know who the hell that was that she fought. I can't even remember her name. That was, what else? I was there. I don't even remember what else because it was so boring. The only good fight was the John Jones and Cormier. That was the only exciting fight of that whole card.
I don't know. I thought the Cerrone Lawler fight wasn't bad because I think it was a little a different style of fight than we were used to seeing from Lawler. Lawler came out and he went straight to work on Cerrone. It was like he took Cerrone by surprise, and then the second round Cerrone came out and took control of the fight, and then the third round was like a snooze fest when you would expect him to go all out because both of them had won a round. You would think they would both go all out in the third round. And they end up being, you know, overly cautious in the third round instead of just laying it out in the octagon. So, yeah, man, it was Damian Maia, man. It's his style. If he isn't controlling the fight, his style is hard to watch. But when he's controlling the fight, his jiu-jitsu is awesome. But he got to be more than a one-trick pony to win a championship. And him being a one-trick pony, both times he's fought for the belt, has been major disappointments for the fans. And he has definitely put on a F-plus show. So, yeah.
Wait, who are we talking about? I'm talking about
Damian Maia. Now I'm talking about Damian Maia. Every time and Cerrone basically the same way. Every time he's fought for the belt, he's put on a disappointing fights too. RDA getting knocked out. I think didn't he fight George St. Pierre?
I don't think so.
He fought Carlos Condit. Was it Carlos Condit? I can't remember who he fought. Yeah, but I know every time he's fought for the belt, he's basically come up really, really short. He comes up really, really short.
Well, he usually loses his big fights. Like, the ones that matter, he usually loses. But sometimes then he starts losing, and he gets in a habit of losing, and you expect him to lose, and then he has like a big win out of nowhere. So I think that's what really keeps him in the game, you know?
Yeah. I think one thing about Cerrone, before we move on, is you know, he likes to fight, but at the same time, is you go through camp, then you go through the fight. Well, you go through camp, then you go through the weight cut, then you go through the fight, and then he wants to get in there like as soon as he can. You can't. That isn't good for your body, and probably about that third or fourth fight, he always comes up short or gets him. That third or fourth fight after he done fought maybe two good fights, he always gets shellacked in that third or fourth fight. So he just needs to let his body rest, man.
Yeah, and I haven't heard of him coming up for any fights, so that's good. I hope he takes some time and let himself chill, then come back and, you know, be ready to compete, you know, hopefully get another win. You know, like, you don't rush yourself. Because like you do say, he fights a lot. That guy, he don't turn down fights. So, I mean, I feel like if he got offered a fight today, he'd probably accept it.
And he willing to step in on short notice. Man, you can't do that, man. I mean, I get it that, you know, fighters get paid to fight, and, you know, the only way you can get paid is by getting in the octagon. But at the same time, you got to take care of your body and your health, you know. So, but I don't think he's scheduled to fight for a while.
Yeah, man, you know, we went over time a little bit tonight. We just, you know, we kind of get carried away talking about possibly having Cerrone, you know, fight everybody. Cerrone might go up to heavyweight and fight Ngannou. And he might just go up there and just, you know what I mean? He don't fear nobody. So we had to go into that real quick. But you know, we try to keep it be more precise with the timing. Stay consistent there. You know, a few extra minutes usually when there's some good topics, because usually we won't let ourselves go over unless we're really interested. So usually when we lock in is like the few extra minutes. But you know, we usually like to close out with just whatever might be on our mind off the top. I mean, I kinda transitioned into a couple topics. I kinda, you know, changed the pace of what we were going into, but I want to just throw it over to you and say, what's on your mind as we, you know, roll into closing out our show?
Man, you know, I've been thinking about this the last couple shows. You know how we do, like, we're on episode 26, and I was like, well, you know, maybe I need to like tie something in to each episode. So being that we're on episode 26. I want to dedicate episode 26 to Rod Woodson. Rod Woodson wore the number 26 when he played for the Steelers and the Ravens, and also the Raiders. So, yeah, episode 26, Lee and Keys, Real Talk, episode 26, dedicated to Rod Woodson for wearing number 26. So what's on your mind,
all right,
bro?
You know, The thing that's on my mind tonight is the fact that I'm probably going to be graduating the end of this year. So it's March right now. And around this time, about 9 months from now, I'll be on, you know, vacation and knowing I'm done with school for good. I talked with my advisor. He said I only need 4 more classes after this semester. So it looks like, and I already have an internship, so it's looking like I'm going to be taking 3 classes in the fall, plus getting credit for my internship job that I have already. So it's looking good. After that, it's a wrap. I only need a little over 12 credits, so I'll get that wrapped up in the fall, and I'll be done with school, bro. So that's what's on my mind at this point. I'm excited about that.
Shit, that's good news. You know, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, my man Keys, when he's in school, you know, he got a lot going on, and you know, we have to schedule our show around him being able to, you know, give me and you as the listeners, you know, some of his time to get up here and put a show together. And you know, like I told him, school is his priority. And if we have to go a week without doing a show, so be it. If he feel like I need to get up here and, you know, do a show by myself, I'll do it, because I'm supporting him. He's in Boston, I'm in Denver, but I'll support his education, his educational endeavors. So, you know, and me being his co-host and me being his partner, you know, I wish him the best, and I know he's going to do good things after he graduates. And for all you young people out there, this is a testament to what hard work does. You can do more than one thing and still be successful in both. My man, he's going to school. We started this show while he was in school, and, you know, we're making this show go on, and we're going to keep doing it. And, you know, once he graduates, we're probably going to be bigger and better, because me and him both probably could dedicate more time to the show. And, you know, keep pushing forward, Keys. I got your back, bro.
Yeah, I appreciate that, bro. I appreciate that. It's definitely tough, you know. You don't know, like, a lot of people, I've talked to, I don't want to say a lot of people, but a few people I've talked to over the years, especially when I was, like, just starting college, when I was just, I don't know, I was about to go, I'm like, God, I'm going to go to school, you know, I'm pretty smart, I think I can do this. And I talked to a few people, and they told me, like, man, college fly by. You don't even realize, and you start getting so busy all the time. And, you know, when you're busy, time seems to go by faster. So as I'm busy all the time, college done flew by, and I only have a semester left after this. So by the time the holidays come, the end of this year, I'm not just celebrating the holidays. I'm just celebrating, you know, all the work I put in. I mean, pretty much my whole life being in school, because, I mean, this is probably it for me. Once I'm done with this, I mean, at least as far as I can see right now, this is it. So, you know, all the time I put in, and then especially in the past 4 years, I finally feel like it pays off. So that's a good feeling, and it's just wild. You know, when you work hard, you don't even see time, you know, fly by you. So that's just crazy. I think the message of that is to, what I would want people to know is, I mean, of course, work hard, but don't get so caught up in how hard you're working that you don't stop to enjoy the people around you, and, you know, people that love you and things that you love to do, because, you know, you can put in that same effort on your work, but not allow yourself to get so stressed that you're not taking time to enjoy things. Because that's probably one thing about school, which I can't really, like, that's one thing about myself I can't change, is that, like, I try, you know, over the time, especially in college, I try so hard to stay on top of everything, that there's been a lot of times where, you know, my mind was so locked into my work where I couldn't enjoy, you know, aspects of my life and my family and friends and people that wanted to spend time with me and get the best of me, you know? So I guess that's like that's a message that I have for people. You know, if you're just going into college or you know, you're freshman or something like that, or you're thinking about going to college, just try not to, you know, work too hard where you're not letting yourself enjoy things. Because, I mean, it feels good getting the good grades. I mean, I have a scholarship that, you know, allows me to get free tuition as long as I keep up, you know, a certain grade point average, which I've done, you know, the full duration of since I've been in school, I've maintained it, so I haven't paid, you know, I paid fees, of course, but I haven't paid tuition fees, so it still saved me some money. So, like, it was good to do that, but, I mean, sometimes I think about, like, damn, is it worth it, you know, the work that I put in to get this, you know, these certain things, like, you know, to have lost out on, you know, time with people. So, I don't know, man. I always just put so much on myself. So that would be my advice, is try to give yourself that balance and keep up your physical health and your mental health, and don't work too hard to where you don't enjoy things, because life, not just college, but life, I mean, I'm still young. I haven't experienced, you know, that much, but from what I've experienced, I can at least say that my life has gone by pretty fast. So, and it doesn't seem to be slowing down. It seems like every day gets faster. You know, every day gets shorter, and every, you know, new month goes by, and it's like, feels like the month was more like a week, and then a week feels more like a day. So that's what I've noticed as I've gotten older, is the time just feels like, I feel like I'm working with less time, you know, as time goes on. So I guess that's just it. I hope I didn't get too dark. That didn't sound like too down. I wasn't meaning to, but I just had to get real right there. So that's just my message. I think we pretty much covered it. You know, this has been Lean Keys Real Talk. It's a pleasure to rocking out with you guys. We appreciate all the support. They call in anytime, like I say, 917-889-3251. 917-889-3251. Call up and tell us what's on your mind. Rock out with my boy Lee and myself. And we're always down to talk with y'all. And we appreciate the support. Everybody, have a good night. Don't work too hard. And maybe get yourself a dog or a cat or something, because, you know, that's known to, you know, bring up people's happiness. So get yourself a pet. You know, I'm allergic to, you know, cats, but I have a cat. And, you know, it could be good. So maybe get a fish. I mean, you can't really get much out of the fish, but, you know, maybe it's good luck. So think about getting a pet, and then, you know, have a good night and get some sleep. So we hope you guys have a good night, and we're over and out. Lee, any last words?
Hey, everybody stay safe. Have fun. Enjoy life. Peace.
All right. We're over and out. Lee and Keys. Till next time.